Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Second and goal to the Jet 3. Ready? Inside handoff to Green. Ellis to the left. He's going to go charging in the end zone. Touchdown. Oh, and hit at the goal line and flipped up and over. Second touchdown rushing of the game for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and the Patriots go 77 yards.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday here on Patriots.com. Yours truly, Pete Shepherd, here until 6 o'clock tonight on Patriots.com. You can email me, webradio at Patriots.com. Facebook me, if you so choose. Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And as always, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Great guest coming up at 4:30. Peter King from SI.com, NBC Football Night in America, coming up at the 4:30. We'll get speak with Peter about the Patriots and Jets, Penn State, a whole lot of other issues as well, hopefully. We'll delve on as many as we can. Until then, want to hear from you guys. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. And obviously, huge game for the Patriots coming up at the Jets on Sunday. The fact that the PFW guys, except for Brian Lowe, have all picked the Jets. I know which way I'm going. That's a given. And I'm leaning towards that way anyway. I know how tough the, and I'm just preparing everybody to realize that unless Sanchez turns the ball over three or four times, which he might, you never know with him. He might. I'm not counting on it. But it'll probably be a very nip-and-tuck game, field goal game, and probably neither team will score 30 points. I want to prepare everybody before next Tuesday's show that be prepared this week. They probably won't score 30 points again, if that's okay. I'm not sure if that's okay anymore. It's just absolutely hysterical because 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I hear sports talk show hosts talking about how they're not winning the right way, how they're slinging the ball all over the field, not winning much. Then they finally beat Dallas, quote-unquote, the right way. All right, they struggled with the Steelers. Still, as much as they struggled, still was a football game with a couple of minutes to go. All right, they get the lead last week against the Giants. Okay, they give up a couple bad pass interference penalties, which was their own fault. That does them in, and Eli played well in the fourth quarter. Okay. They lose a heartbreaker 24-20. But you would have thought they lost these last three games by like 56-10. Concerns? Absolutely concerned. I'm concerned as much as anybody. But, you know, if you're a fan of the Saints, you're concerned. If you're a fan of the Giants, you're still concerned. If you're a fan of the Jets, you're concerned. If you're a fan of the Steelers, Baltimore, even the Packers with their secondary, not right now, but in the playoffs, I'm sure, concerned about that. Tampa Bay, I mean, you just go around the entire league. It's not just the Patriots that have a couple of issues. Now it's amazing to me how people think they're never going to score 30 points again. Well, let me enlighten some of you, okay? And I don't expect it this Sunday night again against the Jets. I expect a nip and tuck game, and I'm leaning towards the Patriots will win by a field goal because everybody on the planet doesn't think they'll win, which just absolutely cracks me up. They're still more talented than the Jets are. It's just a question of, you know, they beat them by 9 early this year in Foxborough. And that was another game where people said Brady didn't look all that great, but still did it. But after the Jet game, folks, they got Kansas City here on a Monday night, at Philadelphia, Indianapolis home, at Washington, at Denver, Miami here, and Buffalo. Now, do you honestly think in those last 7 games, those last 7 games, despite the weather, because they love to throw in the weather, and they've scored plenty of points in bad weather before. Maybe they won't average 30 a game, but they'll be damn close. And I still contend that when you play Dallas, Pittsburgh, the Giants, and the Jets 4 straight weeks, a month of football against 4 of the better defenses overall in the National Football League. Okay, they're 1-2 on this 4-game stretch. If they beat the Jets on Sunday, 2-2. No problem. They'll be 6-3 with 7 games to go and a damn good chance to win every single one of them. Probably the Philadelphia game will be tough in Philly because you just don't know what Jekyll and Hyde team's going to show up with the Eagles. At Washington, that game just doesn't scare me. And the rest of them, Indy here, Kansas City here, at Denver with Tebow. I don't know if he's still even playing quarterback then, who knows. But that's certainly a team the Patriots should beat. Then you got Miami and Buffalo here on January 1st, New Year's Day. And we'll see what the Buffalo game means then. It could mean the division. But there's a very good chance after this week that the Patriots, in my opinion, will have a very difficult time losing a game. So this is a little tough stretch. You look at the Giants' schedule. I wouldn't want to be them right now, what they've had to do. And they got over their first hump. But they're at San Francisco this week. They got New Orleans. They got Green Bay. They got the Jets. They got Dallas. This is a lot of things they have to be wary of. And a lot of other teams. I think the Patriots, after today, have gotten over the hump of the toughest part of their schedule. They've already beaten some very good teams. And there's not a lot of very good teams they have left. Unless you count the Nightmare Squad in Philadelphia, which who the hell knows what they're going to do? You just don't know on a week-to-week basis. Kansas City, I think it's safe to say the Patriots will have their number here. And nobody's worried about Indianapolis here. At Washington, Rex Gross, I don't know. I mean, the Redskins, I thought they put up a fight against San Francisco, and they just sucked. They sucked on Sunday. It was awful. Denver is, I don't expect much out of them, Tebow or no Tebow. Miami here on Christmas Eve. And then Buffalo New Year's Day. And obviously, you look at that schedule, and the Buffalo game is probably going to be their biggest challenge, maybe. Again, that's 7 weeks away. We have to wait and see. But there's just a lot of football left. And I just think people, nationally and locally, are sitting here. And again, I'm not blind that does not concerns. Of course there are. But when people are using an emails of like, they've been horrible. They haven't been horrible. They've lost a couple of heartbreaking games. You know, I'd hate to see, God forbid, they lose 35-10. My goodness. They lose in the last 90 seconds and, you know, it's like, and still in first place. And it's like all of a sudden they can't play anymore. They forgot how to play. They forgot how to win. Brady can't throw. Belichick can't coach. Now, the one thing I'd like to see this week again is Taylor Price hopefully will be able to play. I have no faith in Chad Johnson right now. I don't know what he's going to bring. And the other guy I'd look for this week, and I watched some of the game again this morning, the Patriots. Deion Branch has been open a few times on Sunday that Brady did not get him the ball. So I look for Deion Branch actually to have maybe a little more big of an impact coming up on Sunday against the Jets. Now, Welker last game, I mean, he had that one big play of 73 yards. I know Revis was on him, but in the first game a month ago, he still, he had 124 yards receiving. I know half of it came on one play, a little more than half, but okay. I still think this Patriot offense can do some damage against that Jet defense. I think the Patriots can stop the running game for the Jets. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's their strength. So here you have it, making Sanchez throw the ball. Now, what is worrisome right now, obviously, you look at the Patriots practice report today. Patrick Chung, Brandon Spikes, Ryan Wendell, Dane Fletcher all missed practice. But Sergio Brown and James Adeyebo are only two full-time safeties we got left right now. Maybe Sterling Moore, who just called up from the practice squad, maybe he can play safety. So that possibly could be an issue. But Mark Sanchez still, in my opinion, is at least half a wild card. And he had a decent game against the Patriots back in a month ago for the first time here. He's usually had bad games against the Patriots at home, in Foxborough. I just think this will be a very, very tight game, and I won't say the score yet. I'll wait till tomorrow. But I mean, I'm leaning towards the Patriots by a field goal, which should be one hell of a game. I think it's going to be a dogfight from start to finish, something like 20-17, maybe 23-20, something like that. I don't expect either team to score 30 points in this one. I'm looking for the Patriots to get something going on their return game. Obviously, I think Ben Jarvis, I think they'll be able to run the ball. That's another thing. I think you'll see a pretty well-balanced attack. Now, I know the Giants' defense, again, was not good against the run last week, but unfortunately they got down 10-0. So that kind of, even though Ben, the law firm averaged over 4 yards a carry, it was kind of a weird game because they were down by 10 in the second half. But I think in this game, the Patriots will be able to run the ball pretty effectively. They did the first time. The Jets don't have a great run defense either. And I just don't think, it's going to be in New York, and this is going to be there. They're going to be fired up. I mean, this is going to be emotional. I just think the Patriots in the end will have, for this team to possibly lose three games in a row, which they haven't done since 2002. And the fact that once again, the entire world, locally and nationally, seems to be against them. It's a bit redundant when we say world and then locally and nationally, but you know what I mean. I think plays into their hands. They love it. They're a point underdog right now, and I don't know if that's going to go up or down depending on what people do. But anytime the Patriots are an underdog, I grab them. I grab them. They don't disappoint a lot when they're the underdog. Now, that's not to say the Jets can't come out and cause a few disruptions with Tom and the offense and all that. There's no doubt that they probably will at times. And it's not going to be a perfect game. It's not going to, and I wouldn't expect it to be for either team, not by a long shot. But I'm leaning towards the Patriots. I have a difficult time believing they're going to lose to this team and lose three games in a row. Certainly it can happen. But it hasn't happened in 9 years. And I know the streak of 21 games at home and Brady's personal streak of, what, like 36 games at home ended on Sunday. And I'm just wondering, had those pass interference plays not happened and the Patriots had come down and that last drive stood up, you know, what reaction? I still think people will be bitching and moaning this week because that's how everybody is. If the win isn't perfect, people get upset. But we shall see. Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. And also, you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Peter King from SISI.com. You know, if you don't read his Monday Morning Quarterback every week, it's a must read. And also, you see him on Football Night in America on NBC Sunday Night Football. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the emails. Hello, Pete and Kev. Here we go again with the Patriots defense sucks. I'm really sick and tired of those two goons, Paul and they were goobers yesterday. Now they're goons. Paul and Andrew, I can't stand their show. What Jet defense? Calvin Pace is the guy you're scared of? The 31-year-old first-round bust? People, we are playing Mark Sanchez. He sucks. He's a disgusting fifth overall bust. Man, the guy pays more attention to, I won't say what he wrote, than his playbook, and it shows his throws are horrible. Yeah, he had a rough first half, but he had, you know, he's a wild card because there are other times where he looks pretty good. I hate to use these words about staying within yourself, but that's what Mark Sanchez has to do. I still think the Patriots can get to him. I think Andre Carter, I think, you know, Rex Ryan, maybe we'll hear from him later on today. We'll probably hear later on the second part of the show some of the locker room stuff. But you know, Rex Ryan had high praises for a lot of the people on the Patriots defensive line up front. You know, the problem is, and don't forget, Mayo didn't play last, even though Mayo's not anywhere near 100%, but Mayo didn't play last time either against the Jets. He'll be playing this time. All right? But Will Fork and Love doing a pretty good job up front. And Andre Carter. I mean, Andre Carter's having a pretty good season so far. Again, it's going to come down to probably people focusing on the secondary. So if Carter and Will Fork, as usual, and Love can get some pressure, and I think they'll be able to at times. Not every time, but sometimes. I think they can rattle Mark Sanchez. That's not that big of a stretch to say that. Manny says from Miami, "Hey Pete, I took your advice and read the grand jury report and a big oh my God. I have never read something more disgusting. Being that I'm going to be a proud parent for the first time in May, congratulations, Manny, I know one of my biggest responsibilities as a parent is to know who my child is with and where and wear really well on that topic. I feel bad for Coach Paterno because instead of him being remembered as a great coach, he's now going to be remembered as a big person who could have stopped this from happening. As for our New England Patriots, I've always believed offense wins games and defense wins titles. That being said, I think the defense did a great job on Sunday until the end. Stop blaming the offense. Defense is what defines in this league, even though it's a passing league. And plus, these guys in the secondary need time to get the right combination for the secondary. It'll be once again a great defense. I also believe this Sunday the Patriots will play a complete game, offense and defense and special teams, just like against the Dolphins in Week 1. Awesome show as always, Pete. Manny from Miami. Well, thanks, Manny. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I think you got to be concerned about the safety situation right now. You really do. Barrett put on IR. You got Patrick Chung, James Adeyebo. You know, the only two at practice today that are, you know, relatively names. Sergio Brown as well. You know, Chung wasn't out there today. So Sergio Brown and James Adeyebo, really viable safeties at practice today. Like I said, rookie Sterling Moore maybe could play a little safety, possibly. But that could be a little scary. The first day of practice this week, so we'll see what happens. Gene in Daytona says, "Hi, Pete and Kevin. My wife is from Pennsylvania, and she and her family have been loyal Penn State fans. She said at lunch, Paterno said he has decided to leave at the end of the season. She said he needs to leave now, and that whole athletic department needs to go for the healing to start for those families abused. The healing will not start until he and that administration leave, and he needs to do the right thing for those families and the people of Pennsylvania. The witch hunt needs to stop now." Well, I agree. And already you saw, I mean, the president is stepped down, or is about to step down, Graham Spanier. So he's out. And I agree. I don't know how Joe Paterno can step foot in that stadium on Saturday. And he's going to be in the box, and the ratings will be sky high through the roof because everybody's going to want to see. I think it's a new time game against Nebraska, and it's just going to be sick. It's going to be sick. Injury report, here you go. Patrick Chung, Dane Fletcher, Brandon Spikes, Ryan Wendell all did not practice. Limited today, Kyle Arrington, Ellis, Falk, the law firm, Gary Guyton, Gerard Mayo, Taylor Price, Sebastian Vollmer, Wes Welker, those are all limited. For the Jets, Plaxico Burress, Joe McKnight, and Brodney Poole all did not participate today. Limited were Marcus Dixon and Josh Marga. So, Plaxico Burress is interesting. He didn't have a good game the last time here either, but we'll see. We shall see. Peter King will join us at the bottom of the hour. Let's see. Brian says, the Fox. Whoa, Pete, buddy. You're putting words in my mouth. When I say Tom Brady has a horrible game, I mean for Tom Brady. This is a crossover from John Rook and I. I mean for Tom Brady. Yes, there was a time when the Dolphins could hold him to a bad day by any player's standard, but I think that reference is dated. The only quarterbacks that I hold to the same standards are Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. When these quarterbacks play up to par, nobody beats their teams. So, no, I don't hold anybody to that standard. Okay. When Tom Brady is missing wide-open receivers and throwing multiple interceptions, it is the only way a team can beat the Patriots. Of course Tom Brady's worst day is better than Joe Flacco's worst day. And, of course, I know Joe Flacco doesn't have to perform because of the Ravens' defense. Contemporary Tom Brady really has poor games by his own standards, which is why I think the team has been an outstanding shot to go all the way and will certainly beat up the Jets this week. The Patriots rise and fall with Tom Brady, and that's great by me. Okay, Brian. I got you, buddy. No problem. No problem. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Also call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Kev, do you want me to go to the call, or are we going to go to Peter King? Okay, we'll go to the call right now. It's Cesar in California next up here with Pete. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, Pete?
Hey, how you doing?
I love the show.
Hey, thanks, man.
A few times before.
Yeah, nice to hear from you.
Honestly, do you think the Patriots really have a shot this week?
Of course.
I don't think so.
Why?
I don't know.
First of all, let me ask you this. Will they ever win a game again?
Something's wrong with Tom Brady.
What's wrong with him?
So. I think he's hurting. Shoulder, elbow, something's wrong with him.
How'd you feel on his last drive against the Giants? What do you mean, eh?
One drive.
Okay, he passed for 342 yards. Most of it, I mean, a lot of it in the second half, agreed. But still, 342 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay, he was off the mark 90% of the game.
To say he was off the mark 90% of the game is a ridiculous statement to make. Okay. Now, I'll give you a mulligan, rephrase. Now, you can, 90% of the game, how can he be off 90% of the game?
What's wrong with the offense then? The defense did its job in the first half.
What's wrong with the offense? And I've tried to explain to people, okay? They played the last 4 weeks, the last month of football, the Jets, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and the Giants. Those are four pretty damn good defenses you're going to play. Now, could they have done better at times? Absolutely. They got the Jets this week again. So that's really one, two, five pretty good defenses that they've played the last 5 weeks. They beat two of them. They beat the Jets early on, and they beat Dallas. Now, after this, before that, they played some mediocre defenses, like a lot of other teams in the NFL, and they scored a lot of points. Now, after this game, they have Kansas City, Philadelphia, Indy, Washington, Denver, Miami, Buffalo. Now, do you honestly think that those defenses have the personnel to disrupt the Patriot offense like some of these other teams? That's all I'm asking. No!
I know where you're coming from, but I just don't. Ever since the Dallas game, they've just not been the same team.
Wait a second. If they had won Sunday's game 20-17 against the Giants, would you feel this way? Or is it because two bad pass interference calls, which they deserve to get, and unfortunately, Ballard was wide open in the end zone on the, but those two interference calls were horrible. Would you be feeling the same way if they had won that game 20-17 as Brady led them down the field with 90 seconds to go again?
Oh, hold on with it. You think those two pass interference calls were horrible?
No, I said no. The Patriots brought them on themselves. I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Sergio was talking in the locker room that he was playing the ball. He didn't even look around. He didn't even turn his head. So, they were definitely pass. If I was a ref, I would have called the pass interference.
Hey, just real quick, Tampa Bay has signed Albert Haynesworth, so the Patriots are off the hook for the rest of his contract.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah.
Let's see what Tampa Bay does with him because I don't know. I think Belichick's wearing way too many hats. So. Why is Scarpioli want to stay in Kansas City?
But, I mean, come on, that's not realistic, all right? That's not realistic. But people are saying he's wearing too many hats because they've lost two in a row for the first time in a couple of years, and they haven't lost three in a row since 2002. It's real simple. It's real.
Those three teams they lost against
in 2002.
Yeah, in 2002.
Well, they started off 4-0, and then they lost three. I think they lost three or four in a row that year before they got back on track.
I want to say they beat Kansas City in overtime.
They did. They beat Kansas City in overtime. They had a big lead on Kansas City, and then they came. And then
they lost to like Green Bay. They lost to
Denver, and I think they lost to the Jets that year at home. They went through a bad stretch. They came on at the end of the year, and if you remember, they had to beat Miami, and Wanstead made those horrible. Coaching decisions, and the Patriots beat Miami on a Sunday.
Right.
And then it came down to Green Bay and Favre beating the Jets, and it didn't happen. Anyway, we'll get back to the calls in a second. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD, and call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That is where we are headed right now. Peter King of Sports Illustrated, SI.com, NBC's Football Night in America. He joins us. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pete, how's it going?
Fantastic. And, we've spoken a few times when I was working at WEEI, and I was thinking about this again. I think I brought this up to you last time I spoke to you a few years ago. But I still remember the first time we ever spoke, and I was working at some dinky station in central Massachusetts, and you had just written might have been your first book out of five. I could be mistaken. But I remember you asked me, I was covering the Patriots, when Rod Russ first year, and you said it was an exhibition game, and it was against Atlanta, and you asked me how they looked, and I said, well, Deion Sanders had three interceptions there, but I did get his sweatband as I was headed into the locker room, afterwards, and I think they lost an exhibition game 48-10. Those were the days.
Those were the days, huh?
Anyway, I was reading your piece after the game against the Giants, and it was freaking me out because I didn't realize at the time how similar some of those situations were to what happened in that event in 2007. I call it the event because I have hysterical amnesia and I blacked it out. But, I mean, it was uncanny that some of the numbers you brought up, what happened on Sunday. And
The weirdest thing was when I was looking at the two play-by-plays. I mean, imagine that basically both game-winning, as it turns out, both game-winning drives basically had that 59 seconds left, similarity, and both games, both of them, which is totally bizarre, the Patriots had a 17-yard kickoff return, as they were trying to get back in it. You know, first by Lawrence Maroney in the Super Bowl in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and then this one by, I think it was Danny Woodhead on Sunday. They, each of them, each time the Patriots needed a great return to give them a prayer, and neither time they got it.
Well, I'm not going to waste your time with useless questions about, because I'm not one to overreact. I've seen too many football games, and so have you. I don't overreact on a week-to-week basis because I really don't judge football teams until about another 2 or 3 weeks around Thanksgiving.
Right.
However,
right.
I mean, people here, I mean, I look at what they play, the defense that the Patriots have played in the last 5 weeks, as you know, the Jets, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Giants, and the Jets again coming up. Those are five pretty good defenses, a lot better than most of the rest in the National Football League. And then I look at the rest of the Patriots schedule. I'm trying to tell these fans that Kansas City at Philadelphia, you don't know what they're all about. Indianapolis at Washington, at Denver, Miami and Buffalo. I keep assuring people that do not worry. The offense is too talented. They're going to come back around and that Belichick hasn't forgotten how to coach.
I think this, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. Even if they lose this weekend against the Jets, and they very well may, and making them 5-4. I think the only way they don't make the playoffs, it's not going to be because of, that they're going to lose 7 games. I think it'll be because a team like the Bengals goes nuts down the stretch and somehow finishes like 12-4 and knocks them out of a wild card spot. I mean, I think Baltimore now is clearly, clearly the team to watch in the north. Mm-hmm. And if you look at every other division, I mean, Houston's going to be a single playoff team in the south. Whoever survives the west is going to be a single playoff team there. And so it comes down to the east and the north. And, I would just be very surprised. There are going to be 5 teams involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think Buffalo's going to fall out of it now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I think it'll be the Patriots, the Jets, and then the Steelers, Bengals, and Ravens. And 4 of those 5 teams are going to make it. And I might be a Pollyanna in this. I think even if the Patriots lose this week, I still think they're going to win minimum 10 and probably 11 games. So I still look at the Patriots salvaging their season. The two things I worry about right now, and again, it's so much of it goes week to week. It's not like they've been getting steamrolled on defense mm-hmm. at all. But what bothers me about their defense right now is basically the ability with any consistency to get to the passer. I don't think it's satisfactory to get 2 sacks a game, and that's about, I think, what they've been averaging.
Mm-hmm.
And their pressures, whether they're down compared to last year, it really doesn't matter to me. But Eli Manning took the Giants in the last half of the last quarter of an important game, 80 and 85 yards. And at this point, you've got to say that they simply have to get more pressure on the quarterback. The secondary is not good enough to survive when they don't get enough pressure. And then, on offense, look, they don't have the deep threat they had when Moss was there. It's not good that 3 weeks in a row the Patriots are scoring 20 or less. It's not good at all. But I don't think that when I look at this team that they're going to be scoring 17 every week down the stretch and are going to have to rely on winning games 17-13. That's not what this team is. I still think Brady is going to be a prolific player by the end of the season.
Albert Haynesworth, obviously, well, you know what happened yesterday. He's with the, I don't know if it was you that just told our producer that he signed with Tampa Bay a few minutes ago. So surprised by what happened here and surprised that the Buccaneers picked him up.
Well, we'll go in reverse. I think it's ludicrous that the Bucs, who have, you know, basically tried to build their team with solid citizen young players for the most part over the last few years, bring a guy who, if you're not going to play hard for Bill Belichick, you think you're actually going to go play hard for Raheem Morris?
No.
Ridiculous. I mean, I think it's an idiotic pickup by them, and who knows? Maybe he plays well, but I don't believe there's a soul in this league that was going to pick him up off waivers and pay him the rest of his salary this year. I think they easily could have picked him up and signed him for some piddling sum the rest of the year if they chose to, on a prove-it basis. But as far as what happened in New England, look, I agree with what Greg Bedard wrote. I saw a lot of that the other day where he got pushed around mm-hmm. by the Giants line on that drive in the second half, didn't go back in, and was jawing with Pepper Johnson on the sidelines. I'm sure that once the Patriots went back on Monday and looked at the video, they had to say, this guy's a bum. You know, mm-hmm. he's not trying his hardest. We're not going to have that here. Anybody who watches the film is going to see that. So I think it was pretty logical what they did.
Well, my expectations for 85, and I refuse to call him Ocho Cinco, I'll call him Chad Johnson, but I my expectations have gone from maybe catching three or four touchdowns by this time to now I'm just hoping he catches two or three passes in a game. It's obvious that he and Brady were discombobulated, or they were just not on the same page again on Sunday. Brady was trying to explain to him different things. I gotta believe, for whatever reason, this guy just cannot pick up this offense. And I everybody's saying all the right things around here, Peter, during practice, and the players are saying everything. It's not a Haynesworth problem, I don't believe, where he's not practicing hard or trying hard. He just doesn't get it. I am shocked by it, to be honest with you.
I think two things. That, you know, again, this was told to me by somebody very close to the Bengals, that one of the things that just was maddening to them in the last couple of years is that he was not a good route runner, and basically was a lazy route runner. And maybe that's true, maybe it isn't. That's what I'm told. And if that's the case, it's, you know, and knowing that you have to change your ways here, that a 13-yard out or whatever, you know, an 8-yard curl, it better be precisely 8 yards or 13 yards. And, you know, you can't be rounding off your roots here and all that. So, again, and I think the one thing about the New England passing game, you know, if you're with Brady, the one thing that you realize you have to do is you have to be flexible. And this is true in a lot of offenses in the league. You know, you're not going to run into coverage. You know, you're always going to have an option if where you're supposed to go is not open. And, you know, who knows? I mean, there aren't going to be many people who are going to know precisely whether Ocho Cinco, is running into coverage or if he's just not running with precision.
Still hard for me to, and I think it's hard, the league is just so, with the exception of Green Bay, and they have some issues in the secondary, but the exception to them, it's such a competitive league. And for me, it's very difficult to even get a read on the Jets. Now, it's a nice win they had on Sunday in the second half, but Mark Sanchez still does some, I mean, I still don't know what the Jets are all about either. People can talk about the Patriots and they're right. What are the Jets all about? I can't figure them out, Peter.
Pete, I'll tell you, the other day, I think one of the things you saw is a championship defense. They absolutely suffocated Ryan Fitzpatrick the other day. They beat up Fred Jackson. That was a great defensive performance by the Jets. And they play that way down the stretch. They're going to be able to survive all kinds of poor throws by Mark Sanchez. But, you know, the fact is, Mark Sanchez, for whatever reason, is not as good this year, I don't think, as he was in the last 2 years. whatever the numbers say, take the numbers out of the equation. What should be in the equation, very simply, is this. When you watch him play, it looks like too often he's trying to force the ball to two guys who are big stars, Plexico Burress and Santonio Holmes. Sometimes the throws just aren't there. But I think he's feeling so much pressure to get these guys the ball that it's hard for him to simply say, well, you know, I'm going to Dustin Keller. Because he knows the pressure that those guys are going to put on him to get him the ball. And I really don't think it's so much Burress. I think it's more Santonio Holmes. Whether or not it's verbal or whether or not it's unstated, you know that Santonio Holmes, you know, is just, he's ticked off right now. Because if you look at the kind of receiver he's been in the past, you know, he's on pace right now to catch 50 balls this year and for 8 touchdowns and to have like 700 yards. I mean, it's just, that's a poor season. That's half of a season, really, in his mind. Mm-hmm. So I just think that he wouldn't be human, Mark Sanchez, if he wasn't feeling the pressure from his two receivers.
Well, personally, I think it's going to be a field goal game either way. I don't think either team scores anywhere near 30 points.
Right.
And it won't be like 30-21 like a month ago here in Foxborough. I think it'll be a much tighter. I think it's going to be one hell of a game. And I'm looking forward to it. Just a couple other questions in the NFL I want to ask you about. And I hate to bring his name up because it's so, but I got to ask you about Tim Tebow. I'm a fan of Tim Tebow as a person, a human being, and all that. I've never been a fan of his in the NFL as a quarterback. Do you think he's going to make it?
Probably not, but the question is, do I think he's going to make it as an every down quarterback for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt it. I mean, he's started 3 games this year, okay? He's completed 48, 46, and 48% of his passes in those 3 games. Now, he's won 2 of them, okay? And winning counts. Winning is important, and as long as they win, he's going to play. But at some point, he simply has to be more accurate delivering the football. You're not going to make a living in the NFL if you're not completing 55, 58% absolute minimum. Too many times, I saw something on the screen the other day, and I forget what it was, but it was something like he had converted 4 out of 29 third downs since he'd been the starter. You know, this was in the first half of the game at Oakland. And I'm off on that some. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what it is, but it hasn't been great.
No.
The numbers there haven't been great. You know, to convert on third down, you're throwing all the time. You've got to throw the ball past the sticks, and you've got to complete them. And right now, I look at Tebow. I love the guy. Of all the guys I've met in 27 years covering the NFL, he is one of the nicest guys, most sincere guys, hardworking guys. I watched him last year, Pete. This mm-hmm. would have been about 3 weeks after he was drafted by the Broncos. They had a mini camp, and Josh McDaniels allowed me inside the team for a day to watch Tebow and Orton and all the quarterback group.
Yeah.
Practice and go to meetings for the day. And after everybody was done at 4:15, Tebow went into their indoor facility with Ben McDaniels, Josh's brother and a quarterback coach last year. And he worked for an hour and 15 minutes doing nothing but taking drops and throwing on time, throwing precision routes, you know, on various things. And he was working his rear end off, and, you know, he's trying.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, you know, trying is wonderful, but at some point you have to produce. I personally am rooting like crazy for a guy. I'd love to see him succeed because guys like that are guys who should succeed.
And they're good for the league, too. And as much as right now I'm not a fan of his, and as an NFL quarterback, guys like him are good for the National Football League. There's no doubt about it.
No question.
Let me ask you two more questions. One, just a subjective type of thing. This Packers 2011 offense versus the Patriots offense of 2007. Through eight games at least, which one do you think is better and why? And do you think the Packers will go undefeated?
The Patriots offense through eight games was better. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, think back. You remember that in those eight games, in every one of them, the Patriots scored, I think, 34 or more.
Yes.
Okay, remember how insane a start that was?
Yes.
Now, it didn't last. I think, and I just answered a question on this in my Tuesday column at SI.com, because remember that in that year, I think it was in the first eight games, they scored 34 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then in their last 11 games, you know, the eight in the regular season, and then the, the three in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jacksonville and San Diego.
Nine out of the 11, they were 34 or less.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know exactly what that means. I just know that they were totally, absolutely on fire for the first 2 months like nobody ever has been in NFL history. And again, look, I love the Packers this year. They're phenomenal. But, you know, they are not in the first half of this season what the Patriots were. I mean, the Packers have been in the 20s three times. That's Triple A. That's Pawtucket. You know, compared to what the Patriots were. Now, I will say this: I think that even though Brady was out of his mind in the first eight games in 2007, Aaron Rodgers has a heck of a shot to be better than Brady at everything this year, you know, compared to 07, you know, probably except for the touchdown record, even though the touchdowns, he's on pace to be very close.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a fun team to watch, and, you know, the only quarterbacks that really are in the same league, as far as I'm concerned, when they're absolutely at their peak, Brady, Peyton, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers. They're an absolute, you know, treat to behold.
Peter, one last question. It's kind of a doozy, but you know, Sports Illustrated over the years has done such a great job breaking incredible stories, things that no one really was thinking about. Did you or your colleagues have any inkling, any idea of what was going on at Penn State and how tragic and disgusting this situation has become?
I had no idea, but you know, I'm not around college football.
Yeah,
I don't know if any of our people who cover the college game were aware of it at all, but I will just say that it's amazing to me that if you look back and read the grand jury report and then see the summation by the state police or the district attorney, in Pennsylvania, or the attorney general, the thing that really bothers me is, what the heck happened in 1998 when this mother confronts him and says, what have you been doing with my son? And he tacitly admits that he's been fooling around with this little boy.
Yeah, and says, I wish I'd kill myself.
And there are ear witnesses. There supposedly are two, you know, state officials, officers, whatever they were, who heard him say this. And why on God's green earth he didn't go to trial, or that didn't come in that a grand jury didn't make him stand trial for that? Why is that the case? You know, and unfortunately, in what may or may not be a coincidence, the district attorney at that time disappeared in 2005, and either he is, under an assumed name in Maui right now, or dead at the bottom of some river. But nobody knows where he is. And the bottom line is, this, in my opinion, absolutely 100% should have been preventable, and something should have happened to stop this 13 years ago.
I agree with you. And, I'm sure your magazine, and I just think this is tip of the iceberg stuff. I think it's going to get a hell of a lot worse before it gets better. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter, so much. And we'll look forward to seeing you Sunday night. And make sure you tell the guys to pick the Patriots, will you? All right.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. That's Peter King from Sports Illustrated SI.com. And you see him, of course, on Football Night in America on NBC Sunday Night Football. He'll be there on Sunday night as well. Does a great job. And if you don't read Monday Morning Quarterback, if you don't read anything on SI.com, read Peter King's stuff at Monday Morning Quarterback. It's always an interesting read. Don't always agree with him 100% of the time, but he has tremendous insight. And I don't know of anybody in the league that has more friends and more connections than that guy around the National Football League. I mean, Clayton's great. I mean, Schefter, all good. I mean, they have their thing. But Peter King is probably the most respected guy around the National Football League, and I take a lot of what he says to heart because, as you just heard, just being around, there's not many reporters that would be allowed in, as Josh McDaniels allowed him in to watch Tim Tebow work out like that privately. So that's why he provides a very unique insight. Anyway, so we'll see what happens with the Patriots and the Jets. We both think it's going to be a close game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't know how anybody could see a blowout either way in this one. I think it's a field goal game. I'm certainly leaning towards the Patriots in this one. I am concerned, like I said, at least today on Wednesday, I'm concerned about, you know, that right now they only have, Sergio Brown and James Adeyebo at safety right now. That's who was out there today. And like I said, maybe Stephen Moore, or Sterling Moore, who they just signed for the practice squad. But so that could be a little frightening. I mean, my opinion could change if those two guys are out. God forbid Patrick Chung can't play in that game on Sunday. And Spikes is out, and we don't know what Spikes week to week. Now, Mayo will be back. Mayo didn't play the first time against the Jets. We'll see. But not having – I mean, if they start Sergio Brown and James Adeyebo at safety, that could be interesting. That's all I'm going to say. Not impossible. That could be very interesting. I still think the Patriots are too talented on offense to lose this game. I know the Giants – looked pretty fierce against the Bills. And Peter was talking about how they smothered Jackson. But it's still Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not Tom Brady. I know Ryan's had some nice games this year, but he's still not that experienced in pressure situations. And I agree with Peter as far as the Bills falling off. And I said that a couple of weeks ago. I just don't think the Bills are going to make it. They're a nice team. They'll be okay. They'll have their moments. But in the end, probably going to be the Patriots and Jets like we figured coming right down to the wire. Well, I thought we'd take a quick break and then come back to the second hour. We've got some locker room stuff to share with you. More emails to talk about. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Also call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Back with more of the show on patriots.com right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Mm-hmm. Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hey, back here on Patriots.com. Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock, second half of the show right here. Got lots to talk about still. Going to hear from Jets head coach Rex Ryan in just a couple of minutes after I read a couple of emails and reset my computer because it froze. Not your computer, mine. So just give me a second here. It's such a pain in the ass. I don't know why it happens. You know what? It's the ESPN video stuff. Does it happen to you, Kev? My freezes. It happens all the time. Why doesn't the ESPN video stuff, when it comes up, it freezes my computer all the time? A little upset about that. Anyway, here's Donald on email. Says, Pete, I think that the best thing that the Patriots can do is to add a couple of coaches. Brady needs a, quote, real and experienced quarterback coach. He needs someone to replace what he lost with the passing of Tom Martinez. Mr. Martinez was a mechanic in that he was fine-tuned Brady's form and mechanics. Tom Brady has had many times over and said that a great deal of his success was due to his personal quarterback coach. There must be an old-time coach with the eye and experience who would come out of retirement for the opportunity to work with Brady. Now, let's address that part first. I mean, once again, you're saying that after this last 4 weeks. You weren't saying that the first quarter of the season. I think, again, you have to look at the teams that they're playing and the defenses that they provide and realize that not every team in the NFL is going to be able to duplicate it. Because we all know it's a copycat league. Yes, saying it and then doing it are two totally different things. So, if the Indianapolis Colts are going to come in here and disrupt Brady's passing game, you're crazy. That ain't going to happen. Now, the Eagles, possibly a little bit, because you don't know with them, possibly. But I still think it's a very winnable game. Washington, I don't see it. I don't see it. Miami, I just don't see it. I think this week will be a tough game once again. Fans will more than likely be frustrated at offense once again. And the Jets' offense, I think, will be frustrated again. But in the end, I think the Patriots will probably make one or two more plays on offense than the Jets do. And that'll be the key. Now, it could also be a special teams play. Maybe Chad Johnson, maybe Taylor Price add an additional weapon that you're not worried about. I mean, that you're not thinking about right now also. That's another thing. Second part of Donald's email. Secondly, I think that Bill Belichick has to sign a real experienced defensive coordinator. The Pats have lost so much talent from the coaching staff in recent years. I just don't think Belichick can just train up all these young coaches, the personnel scouting department, and run the defense. He needs to admit that sometimes you've got to go outside the organization to infuse talent. I don't think it's the coaching at all, or very little of it. I think it's the talent that they have on the field. Now, you want to criticize Bill Belichick, the GM or player personnel director, then okay, maybe you can make some cases that they could have gone a couple different ways here. You know, the fact that today in practice that all they had was Sergio Brown and James Adeyebo at safety because Patrick Chung was hurt, that's worrisome. But that's a big difference between that, the personnel decisions, and actual coaching. You know, you can have, you know, you got to have decent players to coach, too. And the Patriots have shown flashes on defense, but they're ranked last in defense. And again, net yards doesn't mean a lot to me. Points allowed, they're somewhere around the middle of the pack, maybe a little bit less, which is what I care about more. But I think to say Bill Belichick needs a true defensive coordinator, no, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And I'm not buying the fact that, now my computer's really screwing up here. I gotta do something. Excuse me one second. I'm just not buying the fact that all these new coaches and Brady is a very experienced veteran quarterback. And I'm sure Billy O'Brien, he'd go through many different things and talk about technique and all that stuff. And Tom's not stupid. You know, he knows when he messes up. Believe me, he knows what he messes up. He knows what he has to improve on. You saw him smashing water bottles on Sunday after a few different plays he was upset about. I just think there's incredible overreaction sometimes. It's not just with Patriot fans. It's with NFL fans in general because it's such a – I just think you have to get over this stuff of strictly pass or fail every week. When people are going to start listening to me and realize it's just not – that's not the way the league works. You know, it's just not the way the league works. Every team, every week. Look at the Jets. If you saw the Jets in the first half of the Buffalo game, you know, they sucked. And they sucked in a few games this year. In other games, they looked pretty good. You know, the second half of the Buffalo game, they did very well. They looked like a championship defense against that team on that particular day. And a lot of it had to do with the way that the Bills played, made horrible mistakes. And the Jets disrupt a lot of teams. Now, I'll be stunned if they have that kind of impact on the Patriots on Sunday night, the way they had against the Bills in the second half. Stunned. Nothing is impossible, but I just think it's going to be a nip-and-tuck game, something like 20-17, 23-20, something like that. You know, could go either way. I mean, I'm leaning towards the Patriots because I just don't see them losing three games in a row. Certainly anything's possible, but I look at the remainder of their schedule, and even if they lose on Sunday, you know, I think it's a strong possibility they'll have a great chance to run the table here at the end. I don't see a lot of formidable challenges. Maybe in Philadelphia. That's about it. I think Buffalo by New Year's Day is going to be out of the picture. Well, let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Here's Joe in Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Pete.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I love the song.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, no problem. I think, you know, we got to look at this a little deeper. I think the Jonathan Kraft and Robert Kraft, you know, they got to start limiting some of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, he has a little too much power over everything going on. I mean, we see all the GM decisions been pretty bad in the last 3 years.
What do you mean all the team decisions have been bad the last 3 years?
No, I mean like the defensive, like the secondary, and pretty much the secondary. You know, so I don't think we could keep having all this gambling, like keep stockpiling draft picks and getting rid of talent, like not going further up in the draft to go and get solid talent, you know? The problem is we keep on stockpiling picks and going down in the draft, and that's not helping.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair criticism. Certainly it's been brought up by a lot of people, and I agree. It's something, because the Bruins used to do this also a lot of times, and I used to get all over them, so I can't be a hypocrite. They were the type of team at one time where they would want, you know, three guys that say that could do the job of one and pay them a lot less. And I hated that mentality. They did that when they traded Joe Thornton and got three guys, and two of them weren't even on the team at the end of the year. I can absolutely see that, and maybe that's a direction Bill might go in the next year. But also remember that stockpiling those picks a couple of years ago is why they got Randy Moss, and it's why they got Wes Welker too. And I understand the frustration. I mean, I know that people would rather have the one top five or top ten pick as opposed to three or four, you know, one in the first round, two in the second, and get those out. They want the super stud. I understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part for them, it's worked out pretty well. I mean, it's hard to go against a philosophy that's worked out so well. And it's way too easy for people to say, oh, the league has caught up to them. Because if you look at every other team in the NFL, which I don't think a lot of people do, you see that a lot of the same mistakes are made by a lot of teams. And there's a lot of teams that have drafted very well over the years that still stink. I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah. There's two things where, like, either this season can really end great or it's going to just blow up in our face. And the way I'm looking at it, like, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or negative, but it looks like there's a possibility this all can blow up because I think the national media start recognizing what's going on here in, you know, Patriot Nation. I mean, there's just too much.
What do you mean the national media has recognized what?
Like, I think, like all the pundits, you know, and analysts and, you know, other teams start recognizing the Patriots is not that powerhouse team anymore. There's on defense going on.
Well, the defense, obviously, again, for me, I don't go by net yardage for a lot of teams. I just don't. I think it's a wasted stat. I go by points allowed. Points allowed, they're right. I think they're 16th or 17th. They're kind of, you know, not horrible, not great. They're right where they are. And if you go back and look at the 06 Colts and you go back and look at the 08 Saints or 09 Saints, you'll see some similar trend. You look at, now, if you just saw, now let me ask you, if you just saw the Packers defense this year and without seeing anything else, they're ranked 31st. They're right behind the Patriots. I mean, they're right in front of the Patriots by a couple of yards as far as passing defense goes. So,
but they have a lot of takeaways. That's the difference.
Yeah, I know that, but it's still only but here's the thing. Last year, and it's funny you bring it up because this morning on ESPN, I'm watching a debate and Skip Bayless is actually defending the Patriots to all ends. And, and Stephen A. Smith is going the other way. And meanwhile, I forget who was hosting in the middle. He's screaming at them, well, the Packers have all that yards because they're ahead in so many games and blah, blah, blah. Now, that's the same guy last year on ESPN who was ripping the Patriots and their defense. And the stuff I've been saying forever is that when you jump out to 2, 3, and 4 touchdown leads, of course, the net yardage is going to look a lot worse than it is. But that aside, I don't put a lot of stock in what a lot of the national media says, especially a lot of the ex-players who all have different agendas against different teams. And many of the national media still just don't like Bill because he doesn't answer their questions the way they would like him to answer their questions. So I take what national media says with a grain of salt. Now, I'm not saying what you're saying can't happen because I think it can happen to a lot of teams. I think it could happen to the Jets. I mean, if they're not careful, I think if Flacco doesn't play well for Baltimore, I don't care how good their defense is, they'll be in trouble. You know, because you saw what happened. You take the Jacksonville game, for instance. They lose, 17-9, whatever it was. So the defense plays very well for Baltimore, but if Flacco doesn't play decent, they lose. So it can work the other way as well. It can work that other way as well. But I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Pete, do you think the Pats will win against the Jets? I don't see it happening. They're going to root like hell. They pull up the 1-point upset. What are some of the key matchups for the Patriots this weekend? So they haven't played well in New York lately. Screw the Jets, Nathan. Well. By the way, you know, Josh brings up a good point. Tom Martinez is not dead, for Christ's sake. Why do people keep saying that? Yes, they're thinking of, he passed away a few years, and it'll come to him, just having a brain fart. The quarterback's coach that passed away was a bad loss here for the Patriots. I'll come up. Yeah, it wasn't Tom Martinez.
Is it Dick Raybine?
Oh, yeah, Dick Raybine. That's who I'm thinking of, yes. That's who I think the other email got. What are the key matchups, if you're asking me? Of course, it's going to be Welker and Revis once again. Welker had 142 yards last time, or 124 yards last time. I know 71 came on one play. I think the tight ends, I think the Patriots can run the ball. I look for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis to do some damage on Sunday. I really do. I don't think the Jets can run the ball effectively against the Patriots. So again, it's going to come down to the type of pass rush they have. It's going to come down to, you know, Andre Carter, DeBrickashaw Ferguson. That's going to be huge. Big matchup there. And see if, Vince and Kyle Love can get in there as well. You know, the cornerbacks, Arrington and McCourty. You know, whether it's Santonio Holmes, Plaxico Burress, who didn't practice today. Those are big matchups. I think the Patriots front four. And I also, the guy, my surprise person of the week, and he shouldn't be too much of a surprise, but I'm going to say Deion Branch has a decent game this week. I think Brady goes back to, BB goes back to Branch. That's going to be my theme for the rest of the week. B2B, back to Branch. Got a feeling. I have no idea what's going to happen with Chad Johnson. I have no idea what's going to happen with Taylor Price. For me to even sit here and attempt to speculate would be stupid because I have no idea what's going to happen. I'd like to see them both play and do well, and that's the unforeseen factor here because if those two guys ever can break out in some way, shape, or form, just have a little bit of an they don't have to have a big impact, just some impact in this game, then that's just two more weapons that the Jets are going to have to deal with. They got enough problems on their hands dealing with the tight ends and Welker and Branch. You know, and the running game for the Patriots is going to be pretty good in this game, I believe. So we'll see. Of course, the safety issue for the Patriots is a problem. It could be a problem if it's just Hideo Bow and Sergio Brown starting on Sunday. Now that could pose an impact. That could pose a problem unless McCourty and Arrington have monster days. We'll see. Well, you know what? Let's hear from... We'll get back to the emails. Well, email me, webradio@patriot.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline as well at 508-298-0398. But Sexy Rexy, I love his Pete, Ryan, spoke today, and some interesting comments about the Patriots.
Really beautiful feet.
Let's start it off on a serious note. Tell us about your role as a Patriots fan in the Sandler movie.
Well, that is a very serious note.
it's, you know, it was, when you looked at it, initially I went in there, I only had one line, but I dominated so much that they gave me several lines. As far as you guys know, that's what happened. No, there's no telling how many lines, you know, what they're going to show or anything like that, but it was a lot of fun. They did have a billboard up there, you know, in the Boston area, and I thought that could be trouble. So hopefully they took it down really shortly thereafter. But it was, you know, it really was a lot of fun.
Was it tough to play against type as a Pats fan?
It was a stretch. There's no doubt it was a stretch. But it was good, you know. And they had me. I was a Red Sox. You know, they had Red Sox stuff in there. They had, you know, Patriot stuff all over the place. I even had some Bruin stuff in there. And quite honestly, I'm not a big fan of any of those teams. But it was good, though.
Did you study up? I mean, did you consult? Did you make any phone calls to find out, you know, to get into that character?
Well, yeah, I did, you know, extensive, you know, research on it. And all that. It's, I will say this. I study my lines now. Because, you know, I was just assuming that when you go in, you know, you do your lines and you're out of there in like 30 minutes. Poof, that was wrong. You know, they take, you know, take after take after take. And, you know, I was sent back and I had rehearsed my lines. And then when Adam Sandler would improvise, I'd be like waiting. I'm like, you know, aren't you supposed to say this? You know, but it was a lot of fun. But I actually, you know, I did prepare now, especially like the day before. I was studying those lines. I never wanted to mess up.
Did you do it in a Boston accent, those lines?
No, no chance. No chance of that. That would have been, that'd be the worst. I did not overact, I don't think. That's the worst thing you can do.
Did you draw your acting inspiration by watching Belichick and Rescue Me?
You know, there was, you know, a lot of different guys that I looked at, you know. You know, with the, you know, maybe Jim Brown, you know, in the Dirty Dozen or something. I thought he was tremendous, you know.
Do you still have the bobblehead?
No, for some reason, I think that thing dropped off, you know, the thing got knocked over somehow, and it broke into several pieces. No, I'm just kidding.
Rex, football-related question here for you. Looking at the Patriots this week and the struggles they've had offensively, I mean, even going back to the game that they played against you guys, that seems, what can you put your finger on why they've struggled, and yet here they are, you know, leading the league and, you know, amongst the league leaders in offense?
Well, I think it's funny because it's, you know, like we're saying that New England's struggling. I think they had 450 yards against us, 450 against, you know, the Giants or something like that. You know, it's not like this team is struggling. It's just that, you know, they have turned the ball over a little, you know, a little bit. I think, you know, in the Pittsburgh game, Pittsburgh had controlled the clock so much that it was hard to get, you know, on rhythm, obviously, because they weren't out there. But that's, you know, this is one of the premier offenses in the league. And, you know, I don't know how good Green Bay is. I haven't played them this year, but obviously, you know, New England's about as good as it gets face.
Yeah, you know, they may not have been, I mean, they may not have been struggling accumulating yards, but my question more to the point is their struggle in scoring points those three games.
Yeah, well, then I hope that trend continues.
Rex, when you see the fact that you mentioned the turnovers, and you see that on film, do you tell your defense, as aggressive as they are, this is a chance for us to be even more aggressive and try to force them to make plays and then force the turnovers that way?
Well, you're always trying to force turnovers. You know, you study tape, you study how guys carry the football, you know, but they do a tremendous job, you know, of taking care of the football. I know they've had, you know, Brady's thrown some interceptions this year, unlike last year when I think he broke an all-time record on pass attempts without an interception. So, I mean, they know how to protect the football. They study it like crazy, but so do we. I mean, if, you know, if we think there's vulnerability in a player, then we'll go at it. But when you look at, you know, Wes Welker's got 100 balls, I think, already. You know, he's the hardest guy to get a fumble from. The running back does a nice job protecting a football. I think he might lead the league in most attempts without a fumble. You know, so they do a tremendous job protecting the ball. It's just, you know, you know, sometimes interceptions happen. It could be a tip ball, it could be anything, and you know, if hopefully we're fortunate enough to get a couple.
Rex, what's changed for your team since the last time you played New England? I remember writing the last time you had blown up at your team the week lead up to the game. Things weren't going well. What's changed?
I just think we got back to playing, you know, our style of football. And, you know, we've been a team that plays good defense, good solid defense, solid special teams, and then the ability to run the football. I think that was, you know, that's who we've been and that's who we are. And I think, you know, we've got back to those roots a little bit.
How significant was it to you, Rex, last weekend on the road against a quarterback who's been red hot this year to do what your defense did? How big of a factor is that for you guys coming into this week?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, obviously I think Buffalo's, you know, a good football team. There's no doubt about it. But we had a lot of confidence going into the game. Our defense is a little different than other people's defense, but we feel good about it. We're multiple in what we do defensively, and you know, sometimes we have the personnel, we can give you some problems, and you know, that's how we approach the game, and we executed our plan pretty good.
Rex, when you look at the way you beat the Patriots here in that playoff game a year ago, do you think that set the blueprint on how to beat these guys? It seems like Pittsburgh, in a sense, did the same thing in terms of defensively. I'm speaking, you know, bringing up their corners, playing man coverage, and then bringing, you know, a lot of pressure on Brady to disrupt his rhythm.
Well, with Brady, you can't run traditional coverages. You can't, you've got to get to him. You've got to, get, hits on Brady. You can't just let him sit back there or he'll just absolutely carve you up. So that's obviously a priority for any team that's going up against, the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. So, that's no great shock, but you definitely, want to make them uncomfortable back there. And if it's a 7-on-7 or it turns into, just what we call pass skelly, then you got no chance to beat them.
Rex, the rules have changed a little bit for this game. You're going in as the favorites, which hasn't happened very often against the Patriots. Does that change how you approach the game, and do you agree with that assessment?
I mean, it's not gonna change how we approach the game. I mean, we're trying to win. I don't care if we're, favored or underdogs by 50 points. It makes no difference. We're trying to find a way to win the game, and that's who we are. I really don't care. I'm not betting on the game, so I really don't care what the spread is.
How do you think Mark's done this year, Rex, in his development? Has he become a better game manager as the season's gone on? Is that a reason why you guys have kind of turned it around?
Yeah, we've he's made a couple mistakes, but a lot of people make mistakes. I like the way he bounces back. We had a great drive, like the second longest drive in the NFL this year, and then we turned the ball over in the end zone. So, you got to give Buffalo credit. Kid made a nice play. Wilson did. But still, we really got to do a great job protecting the football, especially going against New England. You can't turn the ball over and expect to beat New England. But you still have to be aggressive. And I think, there's a fine line, but the number one thing is you have to protect the football.
Rex, when you were looking at the tape to start breaking down this Patriots team, I'm sure you started the game plan a little bit for Albert Haynesworth. Were you surprised at all to see that they released him yesterday?
No, I mean, I'll be honest with you, our concern wasn't Albert Haynesworth. So, whether you believe it or not, they got a lot of big guys. Vince Wilfork is the bell cow in that front. And then I tell you, Andre Carter is a pickup they had. I think he's playing well. Getting Mayo back, he never played in our first game. He's a tremendous player. But Haynesworth wasn't, specifically it wasn't like we had to know where he was at. He's just a big guy. But they got a lot of good ones. Vince Wilfork's the guy. I think the Kyle Love kid's underrated, and then they get the big kid from Boston College back. So, Haynesworth, I'm sure, is a you know, I mean, he does have, you know, some good ability and things like that, but he wasn't a guy that we were absolutely concerned with.
Why do you think their defense has been so much more successful in a man type of scheme than a zone scheme?
With their defense? With the pass defense, I mean, they play a lot of zone coverage. You know, that's what I've been seeing on tape. So,
but they have.
I don't know.
They have added a few more man elements to it. I think they did that a lot more against the Giants.
Well, again, you know, I think they're just, you know, I think their defense is playing better. I think they're playing better on the run, and you know, that one drive obviously was. You know, was a huge drive at the end of the game for the Giants, but I thought their defense was playing pretty good, whether it's man or zone.
Rex, can you give us your impressions on Gronkowski and how he's emerged, it seems, in these last few games as kind of a go-to guy, almost overshadowing Wes Welker, it seems?
Yeah, I don't know about overshadowing Welker. The guy's, you know, he's phenomenal, and you know, he's, you know, he's breaking all kind of records. You know, he stays on this pace, he will break, I mean, almost every record. And but certainly Gronkowski is a guy that he's got a great deal, you know, Brady's got a great deal of confidence in, you know, and he's been, you know, fantastic. He uses his big body. You know, he doesn't have to run by you. He just uses that body, and he's open. He's a big target. I also think he's a good blocker. I mean, he's a complete tight end. We're talking about Dan, right? Not Rob. Just kidding.
Yeah, the Dan's not even here anymore.
I know. I never realized that. I just threw his name out there.
You can pick him up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We will. We're gonna pick his brain.
Rex, do you guys feel like you threw the ball enough in Week 5, and is that something you plan on doing more this week against the Patriots secondary?
Well, I think the big thing is we'd like to, you know, not have 7 3-and-outs. I think would probably help us a little bit. We did in that game had 7 3-and-outs, so obviously we're not going to beat anybody if you do that. So I think, you know, if we're able to move the football consistently, we'll be able to run it more and throw it more. So, you know, that certainly will be our plan.
Coach, last year Brady had 4 picks all of last year. He has 10 right now. Does that surprise you? And what do you see that perhaps is contributing to that?
Well, it does surprise me because I thought he had 5 picks last year. But either way, things like that happen. You know, sometimes maybe it's a tip ball. Sometimes it's, you know, you think you have a read, you try to stick it in there, and somebody makes a great play. But, you know, certainly those things happen. But the streak that he had last year, I don't think it can be duplicated. You know, I mean, he was breaking records all over the place. So, you know, we'll see. But he's, you know, I think you can do a lot worse than having Tom Brady as your quarterback. I mean, he's clearly the best quarterback in the league now that that Peyton's not playing.
Rex, Wes Welker has had some incredible games, but, I mean, he has been taken out of the offense a little bit. Last week, before Anshel Raleigh came out of the game, he was giving Welker fits. So he does seem to have some vulnerability, right?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe we need to trade for Anshel Raleigh, but... you know, Welker, I think, is, you know, he can beat anybody in this league. I mean, he's one of the best receivers in the game. Now, you know, I'll take my corner on him, Revis, but I think he's clearly the best in the league. But I think Welker, if he's not the best receiver in the league, he's certainly, you know, mentioned in the top 2 or 3 guys.
What is Darrell doing this year?
This is the last question.
What's Darrell doing?
Yeah, how has he been
preparing like he always does and getting ready to go? The thing about this game, you know, both teams are going to be ready. There's no doubt. And it's a big game, and we're not saying any different. We know it's a big game, and we also know that both teams will be ready.
Thanks, Rex.
All right, thank you very much.
All right.
All right, there he is, Rex Ryan. Not too controversial this week at all. A little disappointing. I was waiting for some more bulletin board material, but did not come to fruition this time. Too many praises for the Patriots. And watch, next week they'll say, you see, he was showing them too much respect. Oh, my goodness. All right, email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D, or you can chat with me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Let's head there right now. We're headed all the way to France. Here's Omar. Hello.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Hey, nice to hear from you again. What's going on?
Hey, well, not that much, man. I'm just disappointed by the game we had Sunday, and I hope we're going to rebound.
Just real quick, I'm looking at, the Buccaneers signed Albert Haynesworth today, which I don't know if you heard my interview with Peter King. He called it, laughable. And
yeah.
Just, so this is funny because I'm reading the story off of ESPN.com, and it says, it's going back, part of the story, it says, ironically, the Buccaneers tried to sign Haynesworth as a free agent in 2009 before he signed with the Redskins. He later said the Buccaneers offered more money. Now, here's the punchline. But he didn't want to have, quote, distractions in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, God, he's unbelievable. He's not going to do much for them. I feel bad for Tampa Bay. Bad signing. Good for the Patriots. They don't have to pay $702,000 left in his deal. What's on your mind, my friend?
Yeah, but, hey, I was afraid that yesterday when they released Ainsworth, I was afraid that Rex Ryan would assign him.
No, and you just heard Rex. I just played him. I don't think Rex had any intention. I don't think he likes Albert Haynesworth at all as a player. I don't think he was worried about him much. Like he said, he was more worried about, Will Fork and Love on defense and
yeah.
Gerard Warren and guys like that. Andre Carter.
I'm just glad he's not a Jet, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm calling about one thing. Last year I was listening to your show. And I know you were making jokes. You were saying that God is well alive and he lives in Cincinnati because the Bengals, after the debacle of...
I know.
...this year, re-signed Marvin Lewis to an extension. And I'm like, I like this guy. I started listening to your show on a regular basis. But now, what do you think of the Bengals now?
Well, I mean, obviously they're having a good. I mean, they look really solid against. They've been solid all year for the most part. I mean, they beat Buffalo. They won at Tennessee this past week. I mean, they're a solid team. I mean, Dalton's done a great job. I think obviously, I'm still not sure about it. It's still a long way to go, so we'll see. But obviously, Carson Palmer might have been part of the problem there with the attitude that he had. So, maybe they found the right group of guys, and nobody's been arrested lately. The parole officers all seem to be happy with that organization. So, so far so good, but there's a long way to go, but they are certainly probably one of the surprises, if not the surprise so far in the whole NFL.
Yeah, I agree. So they have four difficult games on the schedule. They got to play Pittsburgh twice, I believe, which they're playing them this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Ravens twice again. So
yeah.
After those four games, if they get out of it in good condition, I would say that I'm sold on them. But we have to wait, right?
Oh yeah, I mean there's a long way to go. It's just like what I said about Buffalo. Buffalo's, in my opinion, ready to go down the toilet here. They're a nice team. They've had some nice games, had some nice wins. I just think they're going to quietly fade out of the AFC East race.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. I just hope we're gonna beat those Jets, and
I hope so too. I think they have a pretty good chance. I think it's gonna be a field goal game, nip and tuck all the way. But in the end, I think the Pats are gonna pull it out. I just find it hard to believe they're ever gonna lose three games in a row. We'll see.
I see. Last question.
Yeah.
They signed up that guy with that funny hairdo from the 90s. Do you think he's gonna be he's gonna help for the team? I forgot his name.
Which one?
They signed up
Tyquan Underwood.
Oh, Tyquan Underwood. Yeah, well, hopefully he's going to help in the return game, hopefully, there. And, I don't know how much wide receiver he's going to play, but they got to – I mean, I'm still hoping that Taylor Price and Chad Johnson make an impact this Sunday. Now, those are the two guys I'll be looking at. And I think Deion Branch is going to – I just got a feeling this week he's going to emerge, have a pretty good game.
Okay.
All right, Omar, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All the way from France. Bonsoir. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, right back to the, we'll have some more locker room sound for you. More emails, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D on Facebook. And the Ace Ticket Hotline, of course, is 508-298-0398. Back with our final segment here on the Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com for a Wednesday right after this.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation and account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun. With free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Everybody. Ooh, feel better already. Yes. And hopefully we'll inflict some pain on the Jets on Sunday night at the Meadowlands. Should be a very, very interesting game. Quick email, and then we're going to let you hear from Darrell Revis. Some interesting comments from him today as well. Not a lot from the Patriots, to be honest with you. It's kind of a dull day. But, of course, you can hear all the sound on Patriots.com. Bill and Tom Brady. It was a short press conference anyway, but try to give you the most entertaining stuff for the day. And today it comes from the Jets, and I think people like to hear from the other side anyway because you hear from a lot of the other players all the time. Chad says, let's go back to the no-huddle offense. We literally wrecked San Diego and Miami's D. We need this philosophy back. Bill dropped that game plan the last few weeks, and it's not a good strategy. We go back to no-huddle, we'll win every single game. Secondly, talk about Bill Belichick's mistake. Benching Connolly was outrageous. And you're going to, and his guy missed one snap. The guy's never played center before, and you're going to hold it against him? No way. He literally shut down guys like Jay Ratliff and Casey Hampton. Have we forgotten the disgusting game earlier this season between the Cowboys and the Redskins? Do you remember the center for the Cowboys and how pathetic he played? Yeah, I know Conley was out for a little while, but it was only a couple of plays. He had that missed snap. And, Wendell came in for a little bit. But this guy, Wendell, wasn't at practice today either. Just checking to see the line for Penn State real quick to see if it's even on here. May not be. May have taken it off the board. I think that's going to be very interesting. The whole country's going to be watching at noontime. All right, let's get back to the phones here at the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's Sean in Salt Lake City. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm bad. How you doing?
Pretty good. Have a question. Well, two quick questions
yeah.
for you. Since we got rid of Haynesworth, do you see us doing more 3-4?
No.
No?
No, I don't. Look, you never know with Bill. It depends on the situation, how the game goes. I shouldn't say no. There's no definitives. Like I said, when they were playing 3-4 or 4-3, they play a lot of different formations. They play a lot of different formations, and it all depends on how the game is going, what the score is, how Sanchez is doing. Who knows? I believe they're going to start 4-3. Obviously, they've done a pretty good job stopping the run, and the Jets don't run the ball particularly well. They did last week against Buffalo, but I don't see that happening. There's one thing about this Patriot defense; they've done a pretty good job this year against some good running backs. And Sean Green, even though he's had a decent game the last couple of weeks, but I don't see it,
And the other question I have, do you see us getting a safety?
Yeah. It depends.
Let me rephrase that. One that can play.
Well, I mean, Patrick Chung can play, but again, he didn't practice today. The safety issue is what I've been talking about today a lot, because at practice today, the only two viable ones you had were Sergio Brown and James Adeyebo. And that's it, because of, you know, the injury, and of course that Barrett went on IR today, or yesterday. So, and possibly cornerback Sterling Moore, who just got called up for the practice squad, can play. But yeah, that's a concern. Certainly a concern.
I love Chung.
Yeah.
But Chung is not a cover safety.
Well, yeah, but you know what? But Chung, you saw what happened when he came out of the game against the Giants on Sunday. Brown came in and got the pass interference play, unfortunately,
yeah.
When Chung got hurt. That was the worst thing. I'm not sure if Chung is in the game that the Giants even win that game or get that call. I mean, it's possible, but Chung, I think, would have played it a little bit better. I'm not a big Sergio Brown fan.
And the last thing?
But you're right, it is a concern.
I honestly don't think this is going to be a close game.
All right.
I think New England wins by 21.
Really?
Well,
wow.
I mean,
I hope you're right.
What?
I said, I hope you're right.
Since we lost back-to-back games?
Well, they lost back-to-back games last week, and now it's been since 2002 since they lost three in a row.
Yeah. So, I mean, I honestly see Bill lighting a fire under some people's asses.
I hope you're right, my friend. I hope you're right.
You have a good evening.
All right, you too. Okay, this is a sign of the apocalypse is upon us. Kev, you ready for this? This email. Dave says, Pete, FYI, after returning from that last commercial break, my 4-year-old son said, "That's awesome," and ran outside singing, "We Hate the Jets," David Monterey. P.S., I still can't find that soundbite to put it on my phone. It's if you go back on my posts, and you might have to go back a while, if you go back on my Facebook posts and look, it's there somewhere. Like I said, one of my friends put together a little montage with not only the song on it, but also pictures of the last time the Patriots beat the Jets, and it's actually really, really cool. And if he's listening, maybe he'll do it again, so it'll be up on the front of my stuff. But you know, I get so many messages and everything, it's hard for me to – I usually don't clean anything out either because a lot of fans like to go back and post and look at stuff, and I do look at everything, even if I don't get to it on the show. But it's there. It's there. Maybe we have to put it on Patriots.com. I don't know. Will they let us do that? Probably not. Be a tad unprofessional to do that, you know, to have me singing "I Hate the Jets" like some nitwit. Oh well, I know it's just a fun thing. It's just a fun thing, you know. Anyway, call us on the 8th Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Let's hear a little bit of Darrelle Revis, Jets cornerback, earlier.
Offense that we usually see. What has changed in this Patriots offense the last three games as their productivity has kind of gone down?
I'm not going to really focus in on, what they've been doing wrong. We know the challenge this is, for us this week. Despite, their last two games, we know the type of game this is, between us. It always is a big rivalry. And we know they have a unbelievable quarterback in Tom, and he has some weapons out there he can throw to.
Darrelle, what do you remember about those two high-profile showdowns you had with Ocho Cinco in 2009?
That's in the past. It was what it was. At that time, I think we played them the last game of the regular season, and then the first playoff game. Got him 2 weeks in a row, it was a good matchup between us, and we came out with the victory on both of those wins.
I know you faced him on a fairly consistent basis over the last couple of years, but what, if anything, did you take out of your last go-around with a Wes Welker, and do you anticipate facing him this week?
Last game, the matchup was great between Wes. Sometimes I was throwing him on the ground, and sometimes he was catching some balls on me. So, I call him the Energizer Bunny because he never stops. It doesn't matter what you do to him. He just keeps on coming and coming. We're still putting in the game plan this week, for us to, try to attack these guys where we want to. So, if I'm on him, I'm on him. If I'm not, then, it doesn't matter. We have confidence in everybody. In the Jets team.
With Ocho Cinco, what have you seen of him as the season has progressed, and particularly this last game when he did seem to get open several times. What's your assessment of how he's come along?
He just got to take 1 week at a time. You know, I don't really know the inside or what's going on up there, with him and the offense. And, it might be something to where, the terminology might be different, different from when he was in, Cincinnati. So, you can see they're trying to work him into the mix. And I guess when he gets comfortable and the Patriots feel that he's comfortable, then they'll probably throw him the ball a little bit more.
The last long strike play they've had offensively in the passing game was the first play of the second half against you guys. First of all, how many times have you looked at that play on tape? And what kind of adjustments do you think you guys will make based on trying to prevent that happening this week?
The adjustment is on our side. You know, it's not really nothing that they didn't do anything spectacular. It was just a simple route play. He got between, on top of me and he made it, Wes made a good play. So, that's just something, that we can control over here. And I can control and just, doing my job.
Was that on you or was that on the safety? I can't remember who it was who bit
that was
down
on
the. It was, okay.
Darrell, I know you probably don't spend a whole lot of time watching defensive film, but what are some of your thoughts on Devin McCourty and what he's been able to do in a year and a half in the league?
Yeah, you're right. I don't watch other teams' defenses. Haven't really paid attention to him this much this year. I'm focusing on what I need to do and focusing on our team and what we're trying to do.
Darrell, when you guys first faced the Patriots, it seemed you guys were in trouble, headed in the wrong direction, and we kept hearing about all the locker room problems. What happened to all that stuff?
It's swept under the rug now. it is. Just the things of, some guys were pulling people out, and we just had a team meeting and got everything out there and moved forward as a team.
Darrell, what about the weight of this game? How much are you placing on it? Obviously, there'll be a lot of football left after Sunday night, but how much weight are you placing on this game and the significance of it?
This is another week for us to just, go another step in our goals of what we want to accomplish. This is a very big game, not just for us, for them as well. They lost two games, we won three straight. So, this game is going to come down to what we want as a team and also what the New England Patriots want. They want to win, and it's a rivalry game. So, it's going to be very intense. We're doing what we need to do with the game plan and focusing in, as much as we can this week so we can get a win at home.
Darrell, one of the reasons that a lot of teams don't put their, say, outside cornerbacks on slot receivers because, coaches say it sort of takes the defense out of what it usually does. Obviously, you guys did it well. What does it prevent, what does it prevent a defense from doing when you take an outside corner and put them on the slot? Like, how does that sort of change things scheme-wise?
For us, I can't speak for every team, but for us, we feel that we have a lot of depth, back there in the secondary, and guys can play multiple positions. In our defense, guys move around a lot. I know the slot position as well as playing corner. So Cal Wilson knows the same thing. He has to know the corner, the outside corner spot, as well as he knows, him playing nickelback. So we just have versatile guys that we can move in and out of places and play different jobs.
All right, there it is. The Patriots defensive back, Darrell Revis, and I'm sure he'll have, hopefully won't have a great game, but I'll tell you what, whether it came on one big play or not, I don't care. If Wes Welker has 124 yards receiving, that's fine. It's going to be really interesting to me. Once again, we say it every week about Chad Johnson, and this week also again, Taylor Price. Hopefully, one of those two guys, or hopefully both, will make some kind of an impact, which will pose another threat that the Jets will have to deal with. So we'll see what happens. That's going to do it for this Wednesday edition of the Pete Shepherd Show. Don't forget tomorrow, Brian Lowe has his voice back. He will be back with the Patriots Fantasy Football Lowdown. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour. Then more Patriots Jets talk. And who's our guest tomorrow? I know we have somebody. I forgot.
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York.
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get out of the dirt on the Jets and everything else. And thanks again to Peter King from Sports Illustrated, SI.com, NBC Football Night in America, joining us today for 20 minutes. That was great. Good stuff. Thanks to Kevin for producing this whole thing. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Patriots.com at 4 p.m. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday night, everybody. Oh, and don't forget my friend Craig Bradford, big charity poker tournament tonight, as usual, in Dedham at the American Legion Post 18 behind the Tahiti Lounge. Check it out. It is a very professionally run thing, tournament, and I'll be there. Have a great time. Hope to see you guys. Take care. See you tomorrow at 4. Bye.